Warning! This program will contain massive spoilers and profanity for absolutely everything we discuss. Consider yourself warned. Everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, the stickiest review show on the internet. I'm CJ Welker.
I'm Gage Topolsky, and I still keep going back and forth on stickiest review show on the internet. I don't know. I'm like right on the freaking edge on that one. I don't know why. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I'm like, I liked our old title.
You're on the edge of getting sticky. We didn't have an old title.
We had descriptors of
it
us.
But that was of us, not of the show.
That's fair. That's fair. All right.
So you're on the edge of sticky.
I'm on the edge.
Nope.
Of sticky. I don't remember the lyrics to the song.
What are you trying to sing?
Edge of Glory.
Bye.
I have no clue.
I'm on the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge. We're going to move on from that because I don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I can't believe you don't know that song. I don't know it either, but apparently I know the lyrics.
Okay, detour time. Immediate detour. Oh my god, you were singing fucking Lady Gaga?
What? Is that Lady Gaga?
Apparently.
Huh. It feels like a lot. It feels like a 70s song.
No, it's a Lady Gaga song from 2011.
Huh.
No wonder I don't know it. I only listen to good music.
Lady Gaga has good music.
She's talented, but her music isn't good.
You're a music elitist.
I'm not. I'm a metal elitist. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Okay.
The difference is I'm always wrong, but I don't care. Self-burn. Those are rare. Anyway... We watched Shutter Island this week.
Yes.
A movie that looks like it was made in the 80s, but was made...
What do you mean?
It was shot on film. It has a very old-timey look to it.
It
looks like an 80s movie, and I love it.
I didn't get that feel.
No?
No, I didn't get, like...
Every time I watch this, I'm like, this is, like 70s, 80s, but
maybe
in 2010.
Maybe I watch more movies made on film than you.
I watch way more blockbusters. Of course you do.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Why the 80s in particular?
I don't know. It has, like, this late 70s, early 80s feel to it.
Just because it's on film to you?
No, not just because it's on film, but kind of the cinematography of it just has that feel to me.
Cinematography-wise, all it felt was like 1950s, maybe early 60s noir.
It feels like something obviously set in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
but it feels like it was made in the late 70s, early 80s to me.
I never got that feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
No, it felt like it was made exactly with the technology that it was made with.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Okay.
This was directed by Martin Scorsese, who unfortunately needs no introduction.
Yes.
Not unfortunately. I have issues with him.
I feel like any issues we have with him are purely a product of his... the publication team, the people he pays to do
his social media managers. I don't know, he just always has come across to me as kind of egotistical and hot, like holier than thou, towards basically anything else being made.
I mean, if you make Raging Bull, then you like
no,
it's the same kind of thing with Orson Welles. Like, okay, well, he did that. And it's just like, okay, maybe he might be an asshole, but he's also kind of a visionary.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that we can excuse them being assholes.
In Hollywood, it does.
It shouldn't.
I know.
It shouldn't.
I know.
If somebody's an asshole, that should override anything that they've done that's been cool.
That's a tough one, depending on how cool the thing they did was.
Okay.
What do you mean? Have you not? Okay, I'm guessing you haven't seen Citizen Kane.
No, I haven't seen Citizen Kane. That was from like 39?
Yes.
Yeah, no, fuck
it's
that.
It's really good, CJ.
I can't do black and white and those old-timey films. I can't do it.
Okay. So, wait a minute. What about Raging Bull as well?
What the fuck is that? I'm kidding. I know what it is. I've never seen it.
You almost got me. You almost got me.
No, but just because you make something cool, yeah, if you're a piece of shit, then who the fuck cares?
I don't think he's that much of a piece of shit. I think his social media managers were trying to make him hashtag...
relevant?
Like, relevant, yes. And yeah. He doesn't... Like, if he had the opportunity to not be on the internet and not be on social media, he most definitely would. How old is he these days?
80.
He's 80.
He's going to be 80 next month. He was born in 42.
Yeah, no, 80-year-olds don't give a shit about, like, what's trending.
And I'm aware of that, but at the same time, he's always, to me, seemed like the kind of person who thinks that his shit don't stink.
To me, you seem like the kind of person who doesn't think their shit don't stink.
I'm the first person.
Did you combine worst and person in the same word?
Maybe. No, I'm the first person to call out how bad their shit stinks.
Mm-hmm.
I have air around me simultaneously of I hate myself and I love myself.
Yes.
And it's a weird, like, merging vibe that I have.
It's hard to get a read on you.
Exactly. That you can never tell if I'm going to pat myself on the back way too hard.
Or punch yourself in the gut.
Exactly. So... like, at least I have, like, this weird random balance there that I can fall back on. I don't get that from him.
Okay. He's still the king of sound in movies. Like, every time I watch a movie that he does, I'm reminded how good him and his editor, one minute, I have her name. She's worked with him for ages. Thelma Schoonmaker. They've basically done almost all work to everything that he's done together, and just the way he utilizes sound and silence, especially in
this
movie.
I'm not saying he's bad. Like, he's a very good filmmaker. His personality rubs me the wrong way.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
I think maybe he and I are two alike and there cannot be two of me. Moving on. No, he is very, very good with sound design.
Yeah.
When you first started saying that, I wanted to shut you down by saying, no, that's Christopher Nolan, but I realized I couldn't say it with a straight face.
No.
No, I know it's not true.
I know it's not true. You have just gotten a rise out of me.
The motherfucking Christopher Nolan doesn't understand the use of a compressor.
I know. I know, CJ. It's okay.
I got myself riled up.
It's fine.
So anyway, Shutter Island, directed by Martin Scorsese.
We really got off topic there.
Holy shit. Starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Mark Ruffalo, Sir Ben Kingsley, Max von Sydow.
Oh, I was surprised to see him in this.
He's not a sir, is he? I know his mother was a baroness.
I don't think he is a sir, because that's a British title. German.
German-Swedish.
German-Swedish. He might have been given, like, there's a lesser title to a non-British subject. Yeah. He might have been given that.
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I do know that his mother was a baroness, but that's just because when I was watching this last night, I just kept, like, going through, like, his shit, because I love him. We've got Michelle Williams in there as well, and a couple other.
Okay, I was about to ask you, have you ever seen The Seventh Seal? But I realized, no, you haven't. That was where Max von Sydow got, like, really famous. It was...
Sorry, you said The Seventh Seal and my mind went to a metal song of the same name?
Yes. No, the metal song was most likely named after the movie.
No, the metal song was, like, Book of Revelations type shit.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not the movie, but...
No, but, like, in reference to it. Like, I mean, Seventh Seal is actually a reference to the Book of Revelations. So, never mind.
Yeah.
Like... Anyway, he played Death, and he was the basically his image in that movie is what is considered what the Grim Reaper looks like up until Neil Gaiman's The Sandman, which I love the version of death in there. Sorry, my mind is 10,000 places at once. Let's focus on this.
Can we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, so good cast.
Yes.
There's other people in there too.
Yeah.
It set in the 1954.
Yes.
And it's let's do it before we get distracted by something shiny.
Ooh, keys.
I'm pretty sure my cats are going to go crazy outside that door if you do that anymore. So let's just.
All right. We open on Leonardo DiCaprio as Teddy, seasick on a boat. And the first couple lines of this movie were a little, like, bumpy, mainly because it was just like, here's the information, let's get to the stuff that you actually want to see.
I will say it takes some getting used to both Mark Ruffalo and Leonardo DiCaprio talking with Boston accents.
A little bit. Like, Ruffalo, I can at least see it.
Yeah. It takes some getting used to the first couple lines of dialogue in this movie. Just.
Yeah. Through just conversations, we learn that this is Teddy's new partner. What's his name?
Chuck.
That Teddy is known as a bit of a legend, and he had a wife who died in a fire not too long ago. They're going to investigate an asylum for the criminally insane. All the guards there are incredibly on edge, and as they enter, they have to give up their firearms to the deputy warden to meet with Dr. Crawley. On the way, Teddy makes eye contact with a balding woman with a scar around her neck who silently puts a finger to her lips, and it is unsettling.
She looks dead.
Yeah, no, it's very creepy. This is going to come up again and again. Like, moving forward, the edits, like, during a conversation, the cuts happen, like, a half second before or after you expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of, like, actual, like, mechanical decisions in this movie that are made to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed, so J-cut and an L-cut are reversed. If you, like, in a shot-to-shot, camera's on you, you're talking, and then it cuts to me while you're still talking. That's, I think that's the J-cut. The L-cut is going the opposite direction. But this does those cuts again, with the cuts off, so you get just like the last half a syllable from the other person before it cuts to the other person, and it's just so perfectly unsettling, and I hate it, which means I love it. Like it's just really well done.
That's the kind of thing I don't think a lot of people are going to pick up on, though.
Yeah.
Just something subconscious that makes them feel like, this is awkward.
Yeah. No, like, I've seen this movie before. Like, I was just watching it then to watch it. But here, I was able to, like, analyze it a little bit. And
This is the first time I've watched this in probably 5 or 6 years.
Mm. Okay.
Which,
yeah, I mean,
5 or 6 years ago was the first time I watched it.
Okay.
So I was basically, like, I kind of knew what was going on, but I was just reliving the movie.
They meet with Dr. Crawley, which, by the way, just again, sidetrack. Sorry, my fucking computer kept writing it Crowley, one of the main characters from Neil Gaiman's Good Omens. I don't know why it kept writing it like that. It kept auto-correcting.
You and Neil Gaiman.
I mean, he's a fucking genius.
Yeah, he is. I can't fault you for it.
Yeah. Dr. Crawley explains what they do at the hospital/prison, but Teddy has no remorse for anyone who kills, regardless of psychosis. Doctor briefs them on the escape patient, a war widow who killed all three of her children, and upon seeing the pictures of Rachel, Teddy has a brief flashback to a frozen over bodies in a German concentration camp. They go to investigate the cell where Rachel was being held. It's a locked door mystery, one sealed closed window, and one door with no evidence of tampering. Under the floorboards, Teddy finds a note that Rachel left that says, "The Law of Four, who is 67? If she hadn't used the door to escape, she would have had to go through the common room and pass by 11 orderlies who were playing poker while off shift. Teddy wants to speak with these orderlies, but the doctor is cagey about letting him talk to any of them. The two marshals go out and join the search party for further questioning. Search party doesn't check some of the caves along the outside of the island under the assumption that all the plant life there is poisonous or extremely thorny. We are shown an image of a lighthouse, to which Teddy asks, "What is that?" as if he doesn't know what a lighthouse is or what its purpose is. I thought that was weird.
That's not the way that I felt that was in, like, implied. I feel like the way that he worded it was more just like, what is that used for?
Okay.
Like, the wording is a little bit off on it, but I've always thought that it was like, like they were like, it's a lighthouse, like an old lighthouse that we don't use anymore. And he's like, well, then what is it?
Oh, okay. Like,
then what do you use it for?
Okay.
If you're not using it as a lighthouse.
Yeah. The doctor has rounded up the orderlies, and one of them admits to leaving his post for a little bit, more than a minute. They learn that Rachel had a supervising doctor. They want to talk to him, but he's already left on vacation. When Crawley is asked the very obvious question of, if there's a lockdown and a dangerous mental patient has escaped, why would you let anyone leave the island? And this is brushed off as, well, he's a doctor who wanted to go on vacation. Ben Kingsley is amazing.
He is.
He's very good.
He's always good in everything.
He is, yeah. Anyway, they try to call him, but all the lines are down. Dr. Crawley invites them for a smoke and a drink at his house. And this is when I noticed that the edits were, like, weird, and I made a note of it. But it was just like, okay, it's been happening consistent enough that I'm noticing a thing. While listening to music that's being played, Teddy gets another flashback to the camps, and we are introduced to Dr. Naring.
I believe
the H is silent.
Dr. Naring.
Naring. Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, like, it would Naring. Actually be Naring.
Oh yeah.
Naring. But...
Naring. Yeah. Played by Max von Sydow.
I'm sorry, want to pronounce his name again?
No.
That's the second time I've heard you just, like, mumble through his name very quickly to get it out of the way.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Max von Sydow?
Max von Sydow.
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 Sydow?
No. Read it. Sydow. Max von Sydow.
Sydow. Sydow. Okay.
If I'm wrong, I don't know, but there's nothing telling me that that should not be pronounced.
Yeah, I don't know. Yep. Anyway, conversation evolves into psychoanalysis after Dr. Naring describes the marshal as men of violence. We see a flashback to the end of World War II, where Teddy, as an infantry soldier, sees a Nazi officer who failed to commit suicide and ended up only shooting out his cheek, and he leaves the Nazi there to bleed out. Dr. Naring asks the marshals if they believe in God, to which Teddy responds to asking him if he's ever seen a concentration camp. And he then just kind of easily starts slipping into speaking German and acknowledges that the doctor's really quite good, but he leans too heavily on the consonants. And the conversation is cut short when both doctors explain that the request to review patient files has been declined by the board.
It's Cedo, not
Cedo. Cedo?
Not Cedo. That's
no, shut up. That's, I know.
No, Cedo.
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 Max von Cedo.
Max von Cedo. Fuck. I have trouble with words, and I have even more trouble with names.
I know. This is why it's fun for me.
Okay.
I had a feeling that you were going to have an issue with this, too.
Pissed off at the lack of cooperation they've been getting, Teddy says that they're going to file a report and leave tomorrow before turning in for the night. And Teddy suggests to his partner that no one they've met so far has been telling the truth. And in his dreams, I love a dream sequence, he sees his wife in his old house as ash falls from the ceiling, and they have a conversation. She tells him that Rachel is still here. She's never left Rachel. And then we see on the back, his wife has a burn mark where her spine should be. And she tells Teddy that she's dead and he has to wake up and save this girl.
And then she turns to ash.
In his arms. And it's very well done. Although the... when, like, in the couple, in, like, the 1 second when she's ash and then turns into dust, CGI was a little bumpy, but, like...
It's not the point of the movie.
Yeah.
The CGI, so...
Yeah. No, I can definitely see the budget being just a little bit allocated for that.
Granted, the budget is a lot higher than you would expect for this movie.
And what was it at?
$80 million.
Honestly,
I would have expected 40 or 50.
I would have expected more.
Really?
I mean, the whole set?
Yeah.
They filmed almost entirely outside. All those extras, all those orderlies, like, there wasn't, like, a lot of, like, big special effects, mm-hmm. but, like, this was a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah. That sounds about right. I was expecting it to be maybe a little bit more. But, I mean...
Well, yeah, because you do have to count in the cost of film.
Mm-hmm.
But, still.
Yeah. Depending if they were actually filming on an island. I'm pretty sure they weren't filming on an island, but... Like, all that's... Yeah. Anyway. the next morning, rain is coming down pretty badly, and they won't be able to take the ferry back to the mainland, so they speak with Dr. Crawley about interviewing the patients that were in group therapy with Rachel. Dr. Crawley explains to the marshals that Rachel was on a cocktail of drugs that was supposed to reduce her violent tendencies, but ultimately the biggest thing stopping her from any medical treatment was the denial that she killed her children. The way they described her situation was after she killed her 3 kids, she believed that she didn't, and that everyone here in the
asylum,
thank you, were just members of the community, mailmen, mm-hmm.
Delivery men, postmen,
milkmen,
yeah.
So the doctors are.
Oh,
also,
God, my brain is weird.
What? What did you do?
I said milkman, and then I created a shanty in my head that's like, the milkman's come to fuck your wife.
We are in a weird place headspace-wise with
it's
this
strange.
One. I don't
it's
know.
It's very
understand.
Strange. There, we usually have a groove that we get into, and we have not found it today.
No. Fucking sea shanties, man. Okay.
That wasn't even a shanty.
No,
that was like
a...
that was more like a fucking barbershop quartet. Sit on my face and tell me that you love me.
Yeah. No, I okay. Theory onto why we're kind of bug nuts right now. this movie is so, like, stuck in it. There's nowhere for your brain to really reach out. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery that drags everything in, and we don't do that. We kind of exist in this weird nether space where just...
We are multiversal... multiversal beings of just... cinematic chaos.
I get, yeah.
And yeah. This is such, like, a buttoned down, every detail is meant kind of movie.
Yeah, it's so tight, it's so well written, everything comes together so, like, perfectly into this,
it's
like...
It's so fluid, and we need to throw some rocks in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the fact that it's been 2 weeks since we last recorded.
Yes.
We just, like, on Thursday decided that this is what we were doing this week.
Yeah.
Because we were initially going to do the new Marvel Halloween special, Werewolf by Night, but yeah. Gage didn't like it.
We'll get into it later. Do you want to do a quick thing halfway through this?
No, we'll do it later.
All right, we'll do it later. All right, they're able to sit down with two of the patients that were involved in the group therapy. One of them is an asshole.
Incel.
Yes, same difference.
I just wanted us to formally announce.
Yes.
It is the same thing, but one of them's just slightly more specific.
Yes, yeah.
All incels are assholes, but not all assholes are incels.
Okay, fair enough. That's an axiom. What is that called? Like the all of something is... my mind is already breaking away. Moving on. Fuck. All right, incel gets dragged,
he gets antagonized by Teddy, Leo DiCaprio, who just, like, takes a pencil and starts just digging into a notepad. I will admit, I'm not psychotic, and that would probably send me over the edge. Like, that, just watching it and having to hear that, like, through TV speakers, just...
Yeah.
Like, thinking about it, you can see me squirming in my chair, Gage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cringing thinking about it. I hate it.
The next patient is a little bit more lucid. She admits that the only reason that she's here for is killing her husband.
With an axe.
So, technically, he married an axe murderer, but he was also sleeping with a lot of other women. She hit a boiling point, killed him, and was like, it's probably best for me and everyone else that I remain in here.
Yeah. What would I do outside? There's been a war. There's bombs that can reduce cities to dust. What are the TVs? Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Voices from a box? I have enough voices in my head. That is paraphrased.
Yes. No, she would kill at the asylum comedy hour.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, I liked her.
Yeah.
She's cool. She's obviously under duress as well.
Yes. Yeah. She, while no one's looking, she quickly writes something in Teddy's notebook that just says run, and then tells them pretty much beat for beat exactly what the doctor said about the patient of
The patient and Dr. Sheehan.
Yes. Sheehan.
Sheehan.
Sheehan? Names are difficult. Get your stupid smirk off.
No.
No.
I can't. Forgive me, sir. I cannot.
Anyway, they go outside and chat, and Teddy starts to explain everything to his partner. During this time, they were asking their leads if they knew anyone by the name of Andrew Landis. And Teddy thinks that there was this pyromaniac who set his apartment on fire by the name of Andrew Landis.
Latus,
who eventually got shipped out to here and is most likely in Ward C, where they keep the dangerous crazies. So they decide to go to the graveyard, thinking that that might be a good place to hide dead bodies, and they get trapped in a mausoleum during the storm. During this time, they talk to each other, and they realize that Teddy's been looking into this place for a while now. He has a contact who escaped, not who was let go from this place.
Yeah, he was let out and then stabbed a couple people in a bar.
Yeah.
And then tried to plead insanity. Or his lawyer tried to plead insanity, but he was like, no, just give me the electric chair.
Yeah. Basically, this contact, I can't remember his name.
It was George Noyce?
George Noyce. He claims... Noyce. He claimed...
Oh, God, it hit me.
He claimed that the people, the doctors inside were doing experiments on people, that they were messing with their brains, that they were taking perfectly sane people, opening them up, and fucking with their heads. And that's what got Teddy on this path to finding this place. His partner points out, wait a minute, so while you're looking into this place, you get a call saying, hey, there's something going on here, and you volunteered, and you... So they knew that, like, he starts pitching this...
In true exasperated Mark Ruffalo tone.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's just so
like,
good.
Just do like, you not see the, like, straight line from A to B?
Yeah, just like... They wanted you here, and I'm here too.
My favorite thing that writers do with Mark Ruffalo is give his character just scenes where he's just so confused at how somebody else doesn't see this.
Yeah.
It's great in the, like, when he's playing Bruce Banner as a scientist, he's like, do you not get this? It's great here when he's just, you know, a logical human being.
Yeah, who's looking at things with just, like, a little bit more, just, like, a step back.
Exasperated Mark Ruffalo is just a treasure.
We gotta watch The Brothers Bloom at some point.
Yes.
Anyway, as there, he points out, this could be a setup for you and me, trying to get us in before we can blow the lid off this. They are found by the deputy marshal, no, not deputy marshal, deputy warden, who say that they've found Rachel. They come back and they see that, one, she escaped without her shoes, and she's not wet, even though there's a storm out. Her feet are fine. And the deputy warden says that she was just out by the bay skipping stones. Teddy tries to talk to her, pretending to be a police officer, getting information off of getting information about a
communist.
Yeah.
Oh, communist propaganda.
Oh, that was the other thing I liked, that the big thing that made him look into this place on Shutter Island was it was entirely paid for by the Department of, what was it? It was basically, there was a...
It's like QOF or something like that.
It was
like something of un-American...
Yeah, it was a committee that was set up in the MacArthur era to fight communism at home. And so they were wondering, why the hell is an anti-communist league spending money on a insane asylum? And their determination was, oh, it's so they can get they can test on the patients and get some results that the Nazis were experimenting with, and that the Japanese were experimenting with units. I forget what the
name. I thought it was North Korea that they said.
Huh?
Didn't they say North Korea in the movie?
No, he just said Germany. North Korea wasn't a thing yet.
They mentioned North Korea in the movie.
They didn't.
They did.
Oh, yeah, no, they did. They did. That was during the war. Yeah, no, it was during the war. Okay. They might have mentioned North Korea, but I don't know if that was the one that did the experimenting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it was 1954, so that would be, like...
The war would have just, like, was, like, just wrapped up then.
Yeah.
So, Korean War.
So maybe?
Hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. I found it odd that North Korea was referenced.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, if the war just...
Yeah, if it had just ended fresh in everybody's minds.
Yeah.
Or was just ending.
Yeah.
Ah, I don't know.
1 minute. Anyway, Teddy tries to get some information out of Rachel, who initially recognizes him as her dead husband, but then realizes, no, wait, my husband is dead. I buried him. Who are you? And the scene mirrors the dream sequence that Teddy had earlier. And it's just very good. It's very well written. Orderlies grab her as she tries to choke him out. Crawley apologizes for not intervening sooner, as he thought he would be able to get more information out of her and potentially more information to help her. Teddy gets a migraine, so the doctor gives him some medicine, and with the help of an orderly, Chuck brings him down to the Undercellar, which is the safest place in the hurricane, and we get to see the warden for the first time, who is played by...
Ted Levine or Levine, depending.
He is creepy as fuck in this movie. He doesn't talk yet, but he will get
He has one talking scene,
yep.
And it's confusing, conflicting, it's unnerving.
It's very unnerving. Like this, that's the word of the day is unnerving.
Let's just put it this way: he scares me.
Yeah. No, I was like genuinely freaked out. And the nightmare scene: Teddy falls asleep and dreams of Dachau. He dreams of the corpse of the mother and daughter that he saw come back to life and blame him for not being able to save them. In the sitting room where the German doctor was sitting earlier, he sees Ladis, the pyromaniac, lights Teddy's cigarette and says, "No hard feelings." The pyromaniac is now Chuck, telling him that time is almost up. A woman screams off camera, and time reverses. I fucking loved this shot on the cigarette. He turns, and he's, like, still moving forward in time, but the smoke is, like, in normal time, slowly coming back down to the cigarette. It's just, like, it's creepy, and was calm. I love it.
That is a very good shot. I have one shot that's later in the movie that I think beats it.
Okay.
For me.
All right. Rachel is standing there covered in blood and asks for a little help, with children's corpses by her feet. Teddy picks up the little girl from Dachau and her corpse informs him that she is dead. He apologizes to her saying he wanted to save her, but by the time he got there, it was too late. He's now standing next to Rachel as he places the little girl in the lake behind her house. The girl says something as she sinks into the water, and Teddy wakes up. His wife comes in from outside to tell Teddy that Ladis is still here, and he needs to find him, and he needs to kill him.
Baby, why are you all wet?
So creepy.
It's a line that repeats throughout the film.
Yeah.
It's creepy every time but one.
Yes. Yeah.
I think there's one joke in this movie.
I think so, yeah.
And we'll get to that, but...
Yeah. Teddy wakes up for real this time. He's informed by his partner that the storm has passed, but the generators are down, and all the prisoners have escaped from their cells. The marshal decides to use this confusion to look into Ward C. Still wearing orderly clothes, they are able to get in quite easily. After a long beat of silence, the two marshals walk toward a door. This scene, like, they get in, and there's just they're looking around in, like, the underground, and there's this big room. I don't know what it was used for. It's like... It's entirely tiled, and there's like some dim lights hanging from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks kind of like a Greek bathhouse, but decimated.
Yeah,
yeah. And the tension rises, and then all of a sudden, a shirtless bald man hops out, taps Teddy on the shoulder, and yells, "Tag, you're it!" And it's just like, huh.
So, I will say, the first time I watched this movie, I legitimately thought that, like, this is where this movie starts going full horror and will go supernatural.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And I, first of all, think that that's amazing that it, like,
that it was able,
that able to instill that into me.
Yeah.
Even when I knew that this was going to be like a grounded, like, thriller.
Yeah.
It, this is one of the one movies that I, doesn't matter how often I watched or how many times I watch it, I think this movie would still creep me the fuck out and make me anxious.
Yeah.
Every single time.
No, the timing in it, like, not the, I guess he holds, I'm not gonna, I don't know if I'm capable of analyzing his ability to do timing, not just in sound, but in, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even timing, it's atmosphere.
Yes. Yes. But it's building the tension of the atmosphere through time. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of other directors have also gotten that right, though.
Yes.
The timing aspect of it. I feel like it's more theme and atmosphere related for Scorsese.
I think so. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. No, yeah, I agree with that.
Because the timing almost feels more technical, where the theming and the atmosphere almost feels more like a personality being put into the film.
Right. Like the fight scene in Raging Bull, like at home where you hear the audience.
I have no reference for this.
Okay, it's such a good movie.
The hallway scene from Daredevil.
Okay. So they chase after this shirtless man who wants to play tag, catch him. He almost strangles Teddy. Teddy is able to get the upper hand, almost kills the patient, but is stopped quickly by Chuck. One of the guards finds them and takes the inmate away with Chuck. Chuck's aid. Now Teddy continues to explore, armed with only a matchbook to help guide his way. He finds a number of cells filled with inmates in all various states of mental decay. And he's like, the only light he has, and this was the scene that was used mostly in the trailer, is him walking and continually lighting these matches. And he, while looking for Latus.
Andrew Latus. Why did you bring up the trailer? This movie is 12 years old.
I don't know. I remember the trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Hmm. It left, I mean, the trailer also had the bald woman who went, shh.
Oh, did it?
Yes. And I don't know if that left.
I don't think I ever saw a trailer for this.
That left an impression. Anyway, he doesn't find Latus, but he does find George Noyce, who is particularly beaten the hell up.
Played by Jackie Earle Haley.
He's good in this. George explains to him that this entire thing has been a trap just for you, and you shouldn't trust your new partner. That, again, the one that you just met, who just started with you on this boat. And he has only two choices, to expose this place to the world or kill the pyromaniac or kill Latus. And George begs him not to kill Latus. Teddy has, at different points, has said, I don't want to kill him. I just want to find him. But the only voice in his head that's been telling him to do so has been his dead wife, who now appears. George tells him that he has to let her go, and it's the only way you're going to make it out of this. George reluctantly tells Teddy that Latus is most likely at the lighthouse, and so Teddy meets up back with his partner, and they leave C Block. Chuck tells Teddy that after he dropped the patient with the doctor, he was able to steal something out of the patient file. The only thing that was in the file for Latus was a single intake slip. Teddy doesn't look at the slip, and he says he'll look at it later. Doubting if he can trust Chuck. They reach the coast. Okay, they reach the coast. He plans to go to the lighthouse. Chuck is confused. They say, we have proof. We just get off this island. We can blow this entire thing over. But he's still focused on finding this other guy. He goes exploring, goes back to find Chuck, sees Chuck's dead body down on the rocks below.
And getting washed away by the waves.
Yeah.
Climbs down, manages to snatch the intake form.
Yeah.
Continues climbing down, is on the rocks, screaming for Chuck, and a bunch of rats crawl out of holes in the side of the cliff.
Yeah. He then sees a little cave with a burning fire inside, and he makes his way up through the crabs where he finds the real Rachel. Now, I kind of knew something was up the second I paused. I was watching on Amazon Prime, and I paused.
Yeah,
and
it's free to watch on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. The first time we see Rachel, when she's back in the cell, it says Rachel 1. I'm like, oh, crap, I got a spoiler.
Yeah. No, Amazon fucked that up.
Yep. So Rachel is there. Before she was a patient here, she was a doctor who had way too many questions about the unnecessary surgeries, about the imported hallucinogenic drugs, and eventually the hospital had her committed. I love this, their conversation, where she basically says, if someone diagnoses you as crazy, it's next to impossible to prove that you're sane. Mm-hmm. And which is,
yeah, because nobody's going to listen to a crazy person is basically the gist of it.
Yeah. She freaks out on him after she realizes that he's been eating their food and
smoking their cigarettes,
drinking their coffee. But yeah, no, the cigarettes thing was just like, please tell me you've at least been smoking your own cigarettes.
And it's been a point in the movie where literally every time he goes to smoke, somebody else has to hand him a cigarette.
Yeah.
Or like give him a pack.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the Japanese unit. Basically, she says what they've been doing here, they've been affecting the brain. She reaffirms his theories, saying what they're doing here, they're fucking with the brain, they're doing the exact same experiments that the Japanese unit 731 did, that the Nazi experiments did.
I think this is where she even mentions North Korea.
Yeah, I could have forgotten that. Yeah. Anyway, next morning, Teddy leaves the cave and says goodbye to Rachel, saying, she says, I'm going to keep hiding. They're going to keep looking for me. They won't find me, but the only way I've survived is by going from cave to cave.
Yeah. So anyway, Teddy leaves.
Teddy leaves, and he's found by the warden on the road. And as they drive, we get the warden speech.
This is, in a creepy-ass movie, one of the creepiest parts of it. Ugh. And it's during, like, the daytime in just a car.
Yeah, it's really well
just
done.
Just like a little buggy. Where he's talking about violence and how, like,
God loves violence.
God loves.
How the storm is a like, perfect.
Yeah, he... how do you like God's gift?
Yes.
As he puts it.
He describes the storm as God's gift. Like,
just
humans
pure
are
violence.
Just random, non-focused. Oh my God. He combines religious fortitude with human capacity to commit violence into its own, like, terrifying, self-destructive religion that this guy follows. And it is fucking
here,
scary.
I have a direct quote.
Oh, good.
When I came downstairs in my home and I saw that tree in my living room, it reached out for me. A divine hand. God loves violence. It keeps going on. There's no moral order as pure as this storm. There's no moral order at all. There's just this. Can my violence conquer yours? Like, this dude.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Teddy is like leaning back. Yeah. Like, I know that Leo gets really into his character. Mm. I don't know if he was able to get into his character during this scene or just be as uncomfortable.
See, I would have loved if this entire scene was only scripted on one side for the warden, and Scorsese never told DiCaprio about this and just put him in the truck with the dude and just got Leo's pure, unadulterated reaction.
What else has he been in?
The Warden?
The Warden. Ted Levine.
Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Wild Wild West.
Oh my god, he was Furious. General McGrath. Holy fuck. He was the big bad guy. The guy in the wheelchair.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh. Wow.
Apparently he was in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah. So they get back. He comes up to the main office, realizes that all the doctors and some of the patients were like in a meeting, and we hear the axe murderer say something along the lines of I can't remember what I'm supposed to remember, and like, yeah, she's definitely been tutored on what to say. And here we get the one direct threat. Like, first of all, the doctor gaslights him about his partner. Oh no, you came here alone. He gaslights him about his partner and then makes a veiled threat. Like, I have put a lot of effort into making this place be the way it is, and I will not have that ruined by you. And he basically just says, like, it's just a veiled threat. And that's the one thing I keep going back to when I like try to figure out what actually happened in this movie, but we'll get to that. Teddy decides, I'm out. I'm going to go deal with this. He runs into Dr. Nearing, who after being slightly menaced, Nearing tries to pull out a
syringe of a sedative.
Sedative, and Teddy's not having any of this because now he has enough evidence in his mind that people are actually after him. So he sedates the doctor, books it to the lighthouse, blows up the other doctor.
Sedates the Sea-Doo.
Shut up. He blows up a car. Not before having an argument with his dead wife.
It was a nice car, too.
Yeah. He swims out to the lighthouse, takes out one of the guards, breaks in, and he finds a cast iron spiral staircase. He explores all the levels of the lighthouse and finds nothing. And near the top, he kicks in the final door and finds Dr. Crawley sitting behind the desk.
With the one joke in this movie... As Sir Ben Kingsley says without taking a beat, just, baby, why are you wet?
Yeah, no, it was just like, what?
What? I'm sorry. But that was almost a Marvel-level joke.
Yeah.
Of like, serious scene, diffuse the tension.
Yes, but with Scorsese levels of... seriousness.
Yeah, it's it's one of those things, like, I want to laugh, but I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I want to laugh because this is the delivery, the timing. Everything says, this is joke, laugh.
Yes.
But everything else about the movie, the atmosphere, the tone, the look on either character's face,
yeah,
is telling you, don't laugh, this is serious.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, but baby's wet and I'm confused. Baby's when I scared, what do?
One thing I love, as he's, like, attacking the lighthouse, there's, like, a 1950s action hero movie.
Yeah.
Sounds playing... 1930s. Yeah, 1950s. And, like, the tension is building with every step he takes, with every... Dun, 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 dun. Shut up. And everything just shatters... When with Ben Kingsley, just...
Baby, why are you all wet?
Doctor informs him that the gun has no ammunition, and that the supervising doctor for Rebecca is on site and looking at the guard you most likely just punched in the face.
Yes, Dr. Sheehan.
Sheehan, yeah. He proceeds to try to psychoanalyze Teddy to the point where he can call him... insane. Crawley points out that Edward Daniels is an anagram for Andrew Latus, He's been going by Teddy this entire time, but his first name is Edward. And Rachel...
Yes, his name is Tedward.
And
why would he go by Teddy if his name is Edward instead of Theodore? Like...
Edward, Teddy. Military
Theodore.
Military nicknames don't make sense.
But Theodore. Theodore Teddy. Edward, not Teddy. Theodore Teddy.
Because it didn't work with the anagram.
Oh, fucking...
Yeah, no, that's that was the one cop-out, like, I felt.
They could have just been calling him Eddie the entire time, then.
Yeah. Then someone might get it.
Tedward Daniels.
Anyway, also, Rachel Sundow is an anagram for Dolores Chanel. Chanel being her maiden name, which, like Edward, we also didn't know. Dr. Crawley explains to Teddy that his actual name is Andrew Landis, and the
latest,
and the mystery 67th patient, the note that was written, who is number 67, is him. That this entire imagined reality is a defense mechanism to keep him from being who he actually is. And Crowley somewhat kindly tells Teddy, like, he looks genuinely concerned.
Well, he is genuinely concerned.
Yeah, that if he doesn't fall back from this situation and recognize what is reality, he will be lobotomized. He's been too dangerous in the past. Teddy calls the doctor out on saying that you might be able to strong-arm me, but you're not going to be able to fool the U.S. Marshals when they notice two agents have gone missing.
And on cue, Mark Ruffalo walks in wearing a very nice suit.
Yeah. He comes in, says, I'm Dr.
Sheehan. Lester Sheehan.
Lester Sheehan, and I've been your psychiatrist for the last 2 years. Dr. Crawley explains that he was able to convince his board of directors to allow Teddy's fantasies to become manifest in what amounted to a two-day-long role-playing therapy session.
Yeah, it was a two-day LARP.
Yeah.
It was a LARP weekend. LARP weekend in a really bad storm.
In the hopes that by giving him free run of the island, he would be able to see that there was no experimentation conspiracy, that he was able to look through the white lighthouse, that he went into the basement of Ward C, and he was able to see that there wasn't anything.
And that he points out everything that George Noyce said, that he had the transcripts when he was talking to George Noyce, asked what happened to his face. Noyce was like, you did this.
Yeah.
And
Teddy thought at the time it was...
like, that it was his fault.
This varying circumstances led him to be
right
here,
but
and
no,
beating up.
No, Teddy, like, Andrew himself beat the ever-living shit out of...
out of Noyce. After Noyce asked...
I can't do it. I can't do it without the...
Basically, after Noyce called him Landis and not by his imagined nickname. The doctors sit him down and tell him that if he doesn't if he continues to believe these lies, all of their work will be discredited and he will likely lose a chunk of his brain. Teddy quickly grabs his Marshall's gun from the table and shoots Dr. Crawley 3 times in the chest. But actually he doesn't, because his gun is now a cheap plastic toy. And this scene is done really well, because in one scene he's holding a real gun, and we see Dr. Crawley standing there, and he gets shot 3 times. He doesn't flinch, but blood splatters on the wall behind him.
It cuts back to Teddy, Andrew, to DiCaprio, who then turns the gun towards Ruffalo, and then it cuts back to both Ruffalo and Kingsley.
Yeah.
And Crawley is just standing there, no blood, no bullet holes, nothing.
Oh, it's really good. He looks at his gun and breaks it in part because now it's made of cheap plastic.
Yeah, and he realizes that it's a toy.
Yeah. Teddy, Chuck starts telling Teddy that his wife Dolores was manic depressive and he had ignored all of the signs. They moved to a lake house after she set their apartment on fire, and the lake house is where she drowned three children. Teddy jumps to attack Chuck, but is stopped by Dr. Crawley as he shows Teddy the pictures of what we, the audience, thought were the children of the mental patient, Rachel. Yeah. And Teddy...
Here, look! Dead children!
Crawley tells Teddy that his only daughter was also was named Rachel. Teddy stares at the picture of Rachel, sees the ghost of his wife and his daughter, and then remembers what happened when he came home to the lake house that day. We see him approach his wife at the lake.
We see it all play out. We see his wife, Michelle Williams, be very... like she's just swinging on a swing, like soaking wet.
Yeah.
This is where the baby, why are you all wet?
Yeah.
Comes from. And so then he asks where the children are when she's acting weird. She says they're in school. He says it's Saturday. There's no school on Saturday. She said, mine is. And he first starts to freak out and he looks and sees the three corpses in the lake, drags them up onto shore. Like, lays them out, tries to, like, dry them off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Dolores, his wife, comes over. And
There's a moment that lasts so long. She's still in denial. Like, come on, we'll change them out of their way.
No, that's not denial. Fully broken person.
Yeah, she's like
they will be our living dolls.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
Let's bring them inside, set them up at the table, change their clothes, get them ready for dinner. We'll take them on a picnic tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is a person who's lost it.
Yeah, but I love this because, like, he's, like, this entire time I'm thinking, oh God, he's going to strangle her. And, like, it keeps going, and by the time we hear the gunshot, I was not prepared for it.
Yeah, no, this is a movie with no jump scares, but that gunshot is damn near close.
Oh God, it works with just the time. Like so much time had gone, and she had her arms on his neck, and I was thinking he would put his arms up and like strangle her, but I was like expecting this to like play out slower, but then bam.
Thematically, from a character's perspective, I think if he had strangled her, that might have been a little bit better payoff.
Yeah.
For like how his character actually became broken. But for the scene itself, the gunshot works so much better.
Yeah.
Because it literally is like it's literally just like, throw your expectations out the window. This is what's happening now.
I bet I could watch this scene 5 times in a row and be caught off guard every single time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's...
ooh,
it's out of fucking nowhere, and yet it's like clear as day the whole time.
Yeah.
Teddy
wakes up in cell block C. He tells the doctors everything that they need to hear from him to believe that he's accepted this new reality.
That his name is Andrew Latus. That all of the stuff that basically, like, yeah, no, your experiment worked.
Yeah. In the courtyard, we see him taking in the sun on the front steps of the office building, where he's joined by Chuck, who gives him a cigarette.
Lester. Sheehan.
I'm not sure.
Well,
we'll get into that. I'm almost done. Teddy tells Chuck, he even says, Chuck, we need to get off this island. Whatever they got going here is bad. And Lester looks over toward Dr. Crawley and silently shakes his head. The doctors look very disappointed. The warden and Dr. Nearing head over toward them, and there's an orderly coming as well, clearly carrying an ice pick.
Concealed in like a white cloth.
Yeah. Teddy asks Chuck, is it better to live as a monster or to die as a good man? And then Teddy goes willingly with the orderlies. And the last shot of the movie is a tense music string as we see the lighthouse at sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. No, that last little scene there, mm-hmm. It was absolutely Dr. Lester Sheehan that just used the same platitudes that mm-hmm. he did as Chuck,
mm-hmm.
just to verify that everything worked. And when it didn't, that's when he shook his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think Chuck took a new job. Because we see the lighthouse.
What? You need to elaborate. Okay, I don't know what you mean by that.
You're saying that the final scene shows that that he was crazy all the time.
No.
No?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
I'm saying that...
Yes, no, yeah, in the role that they're playing.
Yeah, in the role that he was playing,
okay.
Dr. Sheehan used the same platitudes yes. towards
I'm agreeing.
Andrew okay, Teddy just to verify that the experiment worked.
Yes.
When Teddy Andrew basically, and I'm in quotes here, regressed back to the whole Teddy persona, yeah. that's when he went over and shook his head. But it's pretty obvious that he just wanted to be lobotomized, that he didn't want to live knowing the truth.
Maybe. Maybe.
That is 100% obvious to me.
I don't get that. I think he... I don't think so. I think he was willing to die knowing... Okay, wait. Say that again? Because we might be arguing about a thing that we agree with.
We do agree.
God damn it.
That he's not crazy at the end. That he's fully within his own senses.
Yes.
But he would rather be lobotomized than know the truth.
Okay, I agree with
you. Than live with the truth of everything that's happened.
So often. But I agree with you.
But I didn't argue with you. You were trying to argue with me.
No, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who started it. We keep doing this.
Yeah, it's your fault this time.
Fine.
No, like...
Okay, yes. No, I agree with you. Yeah, no, this... And then the... Yeah. That's really good.
I just didn't understand what you meant by Chuck took a new job.
No, like, Chuck... I think that Chuck decided to work with the institution. That he was a new agent... The U.S. Marshals was a new thing. They weren't highly respected. I think they came here.
But he wasn't a marshal.
What? Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yes, he was. But there was only like 50, there were like 48 marshals in the United States at this point.
I don't think he was a marshal at the start. Like, I think he was just playing a marshal the whole time. Because we do see in the flashbacks... Latus was a marshal.
Yes.
DiCaprio's character was a marshal when all this happened, and then he got admitted.
Right.
I do not think that Ruffalo's character was ever a marshal whatsoever.
Okay, quick question. Do you think that Leonardo DiCaprio's character had been there for 2 years?
Yes.
I do not.
No?
No. That's the part I'm arguing. I'm arguing that that everything that he thinks is a conspiracy, because it kind of sounds vaguely similar to the shit they pulled at MKUltra.
Okay, but all I have to say about that is that Crawley said, like, we've had you on these meds for the past 2 years.
Yes. They were lying to him.
I don't believe so. I believe it was a genuine psychiatric facility.
I think it could be both a psychiatric facility and a government experimentation.
See, I still don't... I feel like all of that is just, like, the patients, like, and their psychosis
mm-hmm.
trying to come up with a justification for what the hell's happening
mm.
without it being their fault.
Right. I mean, that's where they're trying to gaslight him into thinking.
Potentially, but I don't see it that way. At least as far as Crawley, mm-hmm. Dr. Crawley, I believe he's a legitimately like caring psychologist.
There was a moment, one moment where Crawley threatened him after they came out, after all of the people came out of the meeting.
See,
and he said,
"I don't see it as a yes." It comes off as threatening, but the way that the context of this is that he doesn't want to be using meds. He wants to, like, actually talk to people and make breakthroughs, like, have people make their own breakthroughs via, like, conversation, and not have them just be so medicated that they turn into different people.
Okay. Yeah.
He's on, like, the right track for all of this, but he's throughout the movie saying how this is a new way of thinking for psychology, or, like, for the... general public and for the masses.
Yeah.
And so obviously there's a lot of backlash. And so he's doing everything that he can to try to make his way work to prove people wrong. And I believe when he was vaguely threatening, he wasn't threatening Latus. He was more so reaffirming his what's the word? Dedication to the way that he's doing things.
I didn't see it that way. I think he, like, I could see that read, but it felt so much more like a threat. Like, please just acknowledge that this step, it felt like his final opportunity to the marshal to say, just walk away. Just stop looking into us. You can just head to the ferry and walk away. And I feel like, yes, I feel like he was a good
doctor. What if it was a final push to get him to get to go to the end? To be like, okay, if I vaguely threaten him, he will make it from here to then in the lighthouse where we can tell him how everything is.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, but
the thing is, at the end of it, yeah, maybe Dr. Nering is... doing experiments, maybe, but as far as the actual, like, us general running of things with the asylum and Dr. Crawley, I don't think that there was anything sinister there. I think it was all genuine. Maybe a little bit unethical with the way that they ended up doing things, but I think it was all in, like...
I subscribe to the idea that... like, they two marshals came to there, and then one got promoted and was given a new life, and the other one got brain dead.
No, but you can't just become a psychologist or...
He didn't have to become a psychologist. That could have just been a cover that they gave him after they after, like...
No, but he was posing as Latus's psychiatrist for 2 years.
I don't think he was there for 2 years.
I do!
Okay.
I think... it's pretty clear that...
No, I mean, that's what they're trying to depict. Mm-hmm. They're trying to say, like, oh, look at the psychiatric system who have potentially been doing some pretty evil shit. And this one guy who could blow the lid off everything, let's gaslight him into this. I subscribe to Leonardo's...
Oh, so you think that the two of them went there...
Yes.
...that, like, weekend...
Yes.
...and all...
And then all this happened.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Because they...
But there's evidence of the past 2 years being a thing.
That's easily forged? What evidence?
Yeah.
A piece of paper with his name and a date on it?
There's just... I don't know. There's too much going on. I don't believe... I think you're kind of going down conspiracy theory avenue for this.
This entire thing is conspiracy. Like, there's two viewpoints. The fact he has been there for 2 years and he is in a degenerative mental state, or he's been there for 2 days and he's a U.S. Marshal who got in way over his head into the what would become MKUltra.
I literally do not see where you're getting any of that.
If you follow his mentality throughout the movie.
Yeah, but then you have to put bias in, like, from his perspective, and you're not looking at anything else.
Yeah.
Literally everybody else's perspective.
Yes, because he's the main character.
Yeah, there's the main character who is wrong.
But what if he isn't?
But where's the proof that he isn't?
That's the thing with the gaslighting.
I don't necessarily
I'm not the only person who has this opinion on this movie.
I think that that's stupid. I think that that's stupid.
Okay. Like, not, I like...
I think what the movie tells you is the truth, and then the fact that he is
I think
not...
It's open up for just enough interpretation to have people have this argument, this conversation.
See, I feel like it's pretty buttoned up.
I don't think so.
The movie is pretty concise in buttoning it up, in my opinion.
He is still driven to figure out this place, even at the end. And that's what his line is at the end. Like, I would rather die. Should I die as a good man, or live as a monster, or die as a good man? And that's why he walks away, because he knows he's probably not going to get out of here.
No, he knows he's not going to get out of there, but he doesn't want to live with the truth of the matter.
The truth of the matter that this place exists and he can't do anything.
No, the truth of the matter that...
His wife
and children are dead in very traumatic circumstances.
Yes.
And it's kind of his fault.
I think it can be viewed as both ways. I can see your way.
See yours.
Really?
I do not see where you're getting any of this.
Everything that he experiences and believes is true. Is just as valid as what everything that the doctors told him being true.
I don't know. I don't see it.
Hmm. All right. One thing I do want to say, there was this one scene in the movie when he's talking to the doctor living in the cave where they're talking about how can you prove...
the one that doesn't exist?
Yes. Yeah. The one that definitely does exist and has been hiding on...
Hallucinations.
From where?
Withdrawal from the meds that he was on for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Or from the meds that he was on for 2 days.
Nope, 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the talk in that cave, I can't believe you don't even acknowledge the chance that
I do not see where this is coming from. I literally, like, watching this movie, I'm like, no, this is 100% buttoned up.
There are so many times in the movie where things are clearly happening.
Yeah, I'm not saying that things aren't happening, but I'm saying,
I love a movie that can do unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind that this movie could be that, or it couldn't be.
I believe it is.
And I can see it being both, but I like the one where he is reliable, mm-hmm. and there's a bigger system crushing him.
Yeah.
I like that takeaway. Anyway, the cave where they're talking about how do you prove that you're not insane reminded me of a segment on This American Life.
Do we actually have time for this?
Kind of. It's short. It's very short. Okay. And it's kind of weird, too.
We're at an hour and a half.
Okay, sorry. Episode of This American Life called 385 called Pro Se. In it, one of the stories talks about a man who was committed to an institution for the criminally insane after pleading insanity to avoid a 7-year stint in jail due to a bar brawl that got a little bit too intense. He managed to avoid the 7-year jail sentence, only to find himself in the mental institution for 12 years and unable to prove his own sanity. Now, in a weird case of a broken clock being right twice a day, his major supporters outside of the asylum are the Church of Scientology. Now, the reason for this is that in order to push forward the Scientology theory of Dianetics, the church has gone to great lengths to discredit psychology. Most of the work to discredit psychology holds about as much water as a rusty strainer, but they have pointed out some legitimate flaws that come with over-diagnosing patients.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any person you meet has at least five mental problems and could theoretically, if diagnosed as insane, would not be able to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, like, that's a terror. Like, they talk about this in movie as a terrifying thing.
This just engaged defend Scientology.
No. Misleading title.
I mean, if we're doing inaccurate reads on Gage's end.
I thought that you'd at least acknowledge the fact that there could be a different read to the end of this movie.
There,
like, I thought...
I acknowledge, like, I...
I don't see it. I thought I was going to be able to point out that this is the other movie that Leonardo DiCaprio did where the ending was unsure if it was real or imagined.
Yeah, that came out in the same year.
Wait a minute. Shutter Island and
Inception, both 2010.
No shit. Huh. Funny that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I like that there are potentially two different reasons.
Yeah, no, I like the idea of it. I don't see it.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. I legitimately, everything watching this movie makes me feel like that this is its own self-contained thing.
I saw no evidence that showed that he was there for longer than 2 days.
Yeah, but the memories of everything happening with his wife and kids?
Influenced by the hallucinogenic drugs and the stories that was told about the missing patient.
See, I feel like you have to read into things a lot more for that.
I mean, that's what a conspiracy does.
Yeah, exactly. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, that's the point of it.
I think the way that the movie portrays it is accurate.
Okay. I think it portrays it very well. I think it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, but the movie has its own interpretation.
No, it doesn't, because at the end he says, is it better to live as a monster or die as a good man?
Yeah, because he'd rather die than face the truth of everything that had happened that was, in his mind, his fault.
Or he would rather die than continue living in this lie that has been constructed for him.
I don't see where this is coming from.
It's everywhere. Everything he says, everything he believes, is coming from that.
I think you're crazy. I legitimately
think you're
crazy.
Nuts for not being able to see it.
I mean, I'm obviously nuts.
Okay.
Like, this is known.
Yes. And I'm insane. We already know this.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here?
Fuck if I know. We finally get on the rails and you decide to...
I think I have a point. Anyway,
you definitely have a point. I'm just saying, okay. I don't see it.
How do you not see it? If you just follow his mental frame.
But I'm not following his, mental faculties because he's, broken.
But what if he isn't?
But he is.
But he's not, which is why you're not following. The movie tells me truth. Yes, movie tells you truth, but character says this other truth.
Yeah, movie truth right. Narration right. Script right. Not character. Character wrong.
I swear to God, if English ever devolves into that, just launch me into the sun.
I mean,
holy
to be fair.
Fuck. Holy
that's
fuck.
About no, your I, level of vocabulary
no,
that
no,
you're able
no,
to hold
no,
on
no,
to
no,
on
no,
a day-to-day
no.
basis.
No, no, no. Okay, no, there's coherence and there's vocabulary.
Hey, I was more coherent than you.
No, you weren't. That was words. That was a word salad.
At least I can say words.
I can say words. I can't say names.
No, you also can't say words.
I can say some words.
You can say maybe a quarter of words.
I can... 80% of words.
Oh, 20%.
80%.
20%.
80%.
20%.
I watch old movies with old, like 1920s slang. I know 80% of words.
You know them, but can you pronounce them?
Sometimes. How would you eat this?
Well, I wouldn't now.
You know how I'd eat this? I'd take the pills that was this movie, hide them under my tongue, and then have some very angry orderlies force them down my throat.
Oh, thank God you said orderlies.
I know words!
I thought you were going to say angry orgies.
Okay, I've reached the point where I'm not sure if I know that I say words bad. But I also don't know if you hear words good.
I don't. This is known. I have horrible hearing, hence why I'm so loud as a person.
Okay.
So sometimes, but also I try to listen two words ahead before you've completed your sentence. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I hear angry orgies as you're starting to say orderlies.
So you just assume.
Yes.
You just assume that I talk bad.
Well,
even when I don't.
Here's the thing. I know that eventually you're going to fuck up, so why not now?
Mm-hmm. We watched a movie about psychology and dove a little bit too deep into our own.
This isn't even psychology. No, we're just not. Roasting each other.
Yeah.
Or attempting to roast each other. We're just being dicks.
How do you eat this movie? It's definitely a blueberry. It's fucking amazing.
This is a blueberry that I would submerge a little bit too long in a glass of water.
Mm.
Just get it nice and juicy. And right before I pop it in my mouth, I can ask it, "Baby, why are you all wet?"
That was disturbing. That was deeply disturbing, that sound.
And who's going to need therapy now?
Both of us.
No, just you and our audience.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's take a breath. I'm still upset.
I'm upset. I can't believe...
No, you're not allowed to be upset. No,
We're in your weird... This isn't a house. And this definitely isn't even a room. Ceilings don't go this angle, CJ.
That's actually a fair point. Yeah, we're in a converted broom closet.
This is like a...
We're in Harry Potter's closet.
There's like a 12-degree angle on your ceiling.
There is, and we wonder why acoustics suck. No, it's been an issue. I can't stand up straight in one corner of the back.
I refuse to even try to stand up in half the room.
Remember when you and I were initially both going to move into this apartment?
There was a plan. Like,
and we realized this room would not work as a bedroom?
Yeah.
I stand by that.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Jesus. So, have you been watching anything good? Do a little wrecking ball to,
Do you want to go through...
Even ourselves out?
Yeah, to come down, do you want to talk a little bit about, Werewolf by Night?
No, because I'm just gonna get angry at you again.
Okay, that's fine.
Initially, we were gonna review Werewolf by Night this week. I loved it, I thought it was amazing, Gage did not.
I thought it could be better, it felt like Guardians of the Galaxy without characters I knew. Also, it wasn't scary at all, or even creepy. I wanted creepy!
That's fair. You were never going to get it.
I know.
We did get the closest thing to a TVMA rating in this, though, that we've gotten yet.
Yeah, black and white blood. I mean, that was clever use of that.
Also, we got Ted. We got Man Ted. Thing.
Why can't...
Man Thing!
We got Man Thing, fine. But...
Also, you Laura Donnelly as Elsa Bloodstone was amazing.
Mm-hmm. The acting was all very good. The stunt work was all very good.
Did you know... The one issue that I have with Werewolf by Night is that they never explicitly said Jack's full name.
Hmm.
Jack Russell. I'm not shitting you. That is his real name.
No, that sounds exactly out of the 1970s comic book.
Yeah, I am not shitting you.
Yeah, no, the other thing that bugged me was, as good as Ted was, this giant, this great CGI octopus monster that they definitely...
I think part of that was practical.
Really?
Not all of it.
Mm.
Not all of it. I think it was like the end scene where it's in color. I think it was mostly a guy with a suit with a CGI head.
Okay. I think they definitely touched it up a bit.
No, but yeah, definitely.
My problem was, after as good as Ted looks, the werewolf
looks bad.
It looks bad. It looks like if you go back and watch the original The Werewolf.
Let's just say this is Teen Wolf levels of bad.
Teen Wolf did better.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf had a snout.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Now, they were trying to depict the original, like, the wolf man, but the wolf man had better makeup.
Yeah. I thought it was really good, though.
I was disappointed.
I can't get more into this, or else I'm going to start screaming at you
again.
Okay,
that's fine.
I wanted to say that I'm fully caught up on a week-to-week basis with House of the Dragon.
Hey!
And I wanted to shout out Paddy Considine as King Viserys.
Oh my god! Targaryen, it's so good!
Possibly one of the, like, throughout the, six episodes? Yeah. Eight episodes we've had so far? One of the best performances I've ever seen.
Holy shit.
Anytime he's on screen, the time when I'm watching Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon or something like that, I'm scrolling through my phone and watching, but casually. As soon as he comes on screen, phone's down and I'm standing at attention waiting for my orders.
I love that in these episodes that we've seen so far with Dragons and War and Death and Awesomeness, the most intense, amazing scene was an old man walking to a chair.
And then him stumbling, his crown falling off, and then unscripted.
Yes, no,
Matt
I love
Smith
this.
Walking up as Damon, picking up the crown and placing it on his brother's head because Matt Smith knew this is a great moment for these characters to reconcile.
Yeah. And not only that, but Matt Smith had a speech during the after dinner, mm-hmm. and the writers and directors were like, nothing can top that. So yeah. They just let him be silent during that. And it was just him helping his brother. Like, he still cares about his family. This is what matters to him.
It's so good.
Very careful placing of it on his head.
Yeah.
And him just going straight into king
mode.
But
also the makeup and effects.
Oh my God.
If we're just talking about The Lord of the Tides, the most recent episode, as of time of recording, Sunday there'll be a new episode out, but tonight there'll be a new episode as of recording. But like the makeup for depicting a king with leprosy,
oh my God,
or whatever the Westerosi version of leprosy is, is fucking amazing.
Oh my God, I haven't seen I remember back when I saw The Dark Knight and we saw Two-Face and I was like, holy shit, how can it get better than this? It's better. It's like there's more material, like not like there's more special effects material in his face.
Yeah.
And it's just like, holy crap.
But it's also obvious that a lot of that is practical. Yeah. It's just being touched up a little bit.
Yeah.
But the only way that I note this, that probably 90% of this is practical, is that you can kind of see discoloration with the bald cap.
Yes. That was it.
Yeah.
But that was it.
That was it. And it still looked amazing.
It did.
It just, like, I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad we were able to get back on the same page.
Do not ruin the moment.
Love you, buddy.
Sometimes I wonder. Okay. But no, I just want to say for the show as a whole, because I'm pretty sure that's the last time we're going to see him other than maybe a flashback or something.
Yeah.
I hope so. But holy shit.
Uh-huh.
He deserves all of the awards.
Yep.
All of the awards.
All of them.
So many.
Yeah.
I do also want to say, I don't remember if it was last episode or the episode before when we were talking about it and I had mentioned, like that we were probably getting Battle Over the Gods, a Battle Above the Gods Eye. I did accidentally say Aegon and not Aemond.
Okay.
I just wanted to clear that up because I caught that during editing.
Okay.
I was going to just record a little thing correcting myself and realize that was kind of,
I mean, you could have just gone Aemon and edit that in. It would be bumpy.
Just scream, Aemond! Aemond!
Aemond.
But no, I said it so many times.
Yeah.
But, I am understanding of the fact that we had to get a different actress for the older version of Rhaenyra.
Yes.
And that the character is a different version of the character.
Yes.
But I miss Millie Alcock's version
too.
Of Rhaenyra.
I think she proved herself in when one of the boys cut out.
She's amazing.
Yes.
Emma D'Arcy is amazing. The character is still an amazing character. Mm. I miss the, like, spunkiness.
Yes.
Of Millie Alcock. Like, she was more sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how much I love a sassy character. For Shutter Island, we never did favorite scene, shot, favorite stand-up performance.
So I mentioned the backward smoke.
Yes.
What's yours?
Mine is the down-to-the-ground shot of the three children and Dolores.
Oh, the...
All lined up dead with Jack over their bodies. There's something, like, beautiful and artistic with it.
Yeah.
But
deeply unsettling.
Deeply unsettling.
Yeah.
And it's this weird mix of horrifying and beautiful that mm-hmm. just draws me in and makes me want more.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I was about, my instinct as the child of artists was about to recommend some painters that
you can't,
I knew.
You cannot do this to me.
But then I'd be like, no, I can't.
You cannot do this to me.
This is me stopping myself.
It'll go in one ear and out the other.
I want you to appreciate that.
No, okay. I do. Do you have a favorite scene?
That's a tough one. Honestly, the scene following Ben Kingsley saying,
baby, why are you so wet?
Yeah. And just him holding the gun without any ammo, just like being confused. Oh my god.
That's, I need to find more time to say that in my daily life. Give me 1 second. Just re-downloading Tinder. And there we go. That is going to be my new bio.
I mean, that's a good gif. That's a, like just him standing there with his head slightly cocked.
No, that's just the bio. Standout performance. Oh, I didn't say my favorite.
Oh yeah,
scene. My favorite scene is the it's again, it's the scene of the dead children.
Okay,
like I so like that
the shot from your favorite shot was in your favorite scene.
Yes,
got it.
Like I love the scene that is like the flashback, or in your case, maybe hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
Flashback.
Hallucination.
Disagree to disagree.
He was clear, dream sequence, at least. We can agree on that.
Yeah. It was a dream of a memory. Anyway.
Dream of Drugs. That's a good band name. Dream of Drugs.
That's a good song name.
Okay. A Dream of Drugs is a band name.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, everything from him get like walking back into the house to like him screaming over like the bodies of his entire family is just beautiful.
Yeah.
Standout performance. Again, I'm going Leo.
I have to go Leo.
I'm honestly shocked that he didn't get the Oscar for this movie.
Yeah. You know, although violence is a god. God loves violence.
Oh, that dude?
That dude.
What was it?
Ted Levine.
Ted Levine?
Yeah. That scared me.
Yeah.
Deeply.
My issue, though, is that we don't get enough of him.
Yeah.
Like, the one time that he's in is deeply upsetting?
Yeah.
Unsettling.
I guess
upsetting, unsettling.
I guess what comes down to me is, for me, I always try to put standout performance beyond the lead role.
I try to as well, but in this particular instance, I still have to go with Leo. I think, I think he did a phenomenal job with all of the emotional beats hit really fucking hard.
I'm gonna have to go with Ted Levine just because, like, I'm trying to remember the last time I was, like, scared.
Right?
At like, a monologue?
I cannot fault you for that whatsoever. Yeah. I would give it to him if he had maybe a little bit longer screen time,
because
that's the only scene that he's in other than when we first see him,
and where he's just standing there menacingly.
Right,
he's just standing there menacingly.
If we had gotten like at least like him like shoving some orderlies around or something at some point, that was creepy as fuck.
Yep. All right. You
what are we doing next week?
Oh, we are doing...
We got a little Halloween trick-or-treat.
Yeah. We're going to be looking
at... It's a trick.
I forget what year is.
2014?
Dracula Untold.
With Luke Evans playing the titular role.
Yeah. Vlad Dracula.
No, not 1992. Not Gary Oldman. So I do love Gary. Yeah, 2014. Yeah, and Dominic Cooper is in it.
I watched it like a year after it came out.
Oh, I watched it in theaters.
Oh, cool.
This was a great movie to see in theaters.
This is a very, I can imagine. Yeah.
Like, I feel like this movie is underappreciated as
I think so, too.
As like, a modern Dracula movie? No, it's never going to be, like, any of the original Dracula movies.
Yes.
But...
it's still pretty good.
Turning Dracula into less of a horror movie and a little bit more of an action movie, and having it work...
yeah, it's more of a character piece.
Yeah, it's a character piece with...
Dracula. Like,
with Dracula, but also with action.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like
it borrows a little bit more from the historical Vlad the Impaler.
Yes.
And
yes.
I
and
love
that's,
that.
That's what I like yeah. the most about it, is that it's more Vlad the Impaler than it is Dracula.
Yeah. And it's this wonderful even mesh
yeah,
of the
it
two.
It is. Well, still being, like, a blockbuster
yes.
style movie.
Yeah.
It's
We'll get more into it,
but I just want to put it out there that granted, I haven't watched this movie in probably 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no, it's been a while.
I remember it being pretty good. My feelings towards it going into this are that it's underappreciated and more people should give it a chance.
I'm tended to agree. I agree with
that. We'll see if that changes.
Yeah, I hope so, because I really do remember it being rather good. I remember key scenes that I really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. That's going to be it for us this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, I will leave our Discord channel, Instagram, and Twitter down below. Please come join the Discord, chat with us whenever new episodes come out. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. Is it following on Instagram?
It's following on Instagram.
Okay. There's so much following. Just don't follow me home. If you could leave us a written review wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, we'd greatly appreciate that. And share it with a friend. I will leave a link to our website down below so you can pick and choose episodes to send to friends. Help us grow.
Please
do. Where we'd really appreciate it.
I think that's it.
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Did I forget something? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Well, we're clearly both insane, so probably. Bye.
Stay sticky. Baby, why are you so wet?
Stop that.
Baby, why are you so sticky?